Right, here we go. We're back with another Weekly Mint Sauce Chronicles. And I hope everyone's in good health. It seems a while since we recorded a full one of these, although in the last edition we did about an hour at the end of the Mark Nesty podcast. Thanks for all the kind comments and emails. The format is simple. We're trying to release a minimum of four shows a month. Shows will be released on a Saturday. Members get the full podcast plus download. Non-members get part one. All shows are released on a Saturday. I'll repeat that. Podcasts are always at sheepfarm.co.uk, and we also put part one on Podomatic that then send them or deliver them to Spotify, Amazon Music, Audible, Google Podcasts, and we're now on Apple. And although Chris mentioned Odyssey and Rumble, and had some emails about that, he sort of jumped the gun as usual.
It's because I saw stuff on there, that's why.
Yeah. I don't really put stuff on Odyssey and Rumble. I set it up and it pulls any new thing that I put on the main YouTube channel. So I put a trailer on there, it just pulls it over.
All right.
And Rumble, I've started putting a few videos on there, but no drastic, just a few that won't go on YouTube. But you can go there. And that also pulls anything we do, including the live ones, whereas Odyssey doesn't because they're too big and the file's too big. But anyway, that's that part. So you can catch us on those platforms. The Sheep Farm Shop, people are ordering, they're getting the deliveries. It seems to be taking between 5 working days and 10 working days to get some stuff through. We're using Royal Snail. So obviously we're in their
probably
hands.
Bank holidays. It's been bank holidays, wasn't it?
Well, no, I'm just saying but it's not just sending them out. Obviously, certain T-shirts take a bit longer for the dropshipper to make, by the looks of it. But anyway, right. So I'm just saying that it takes about 5 to 10 days. Generally, it's about 3 or 4 or 5 days we get there. I've ordered stuff myself just to test it a few times, and it does take 5 days, roughly 5 working days, that is. There's a few shows that are coming up that we're going to be on live. The Amish Inquisition on YouTube, which will be live on the 11th of June, in a couple of weeks. We're also on Rise Above Live the Friday after, the 17th of the 6th. And also we're at New Horizons in St. Anne's. We mentioned this before, but where we're actually not on YouTube, but we're actually appearing live. I don't know what we've got ourselves into, but we are actually doing it.
I'm just turning up.
Yeah, you're turning up. But what's going to happen there is we've recorded the next Brave New World Order episodes, and I'm going to sort of pick the beginning of one of them and the end of another one and put them together. And there's about 2.25 hours of those, just to give people an insight into what the next Brave New World Order is. And it'll be like, I suppose, a premiere. Chris is going to a film premiere of his own stuff. He'll be very excited. But it'll be just like the first hour watching that. There'll be a bit of a break. Then the second hour, we're watching the second part. And that's basically what we'll be doing. And if somebody wants to actually talk to us for some strange reason, then we'll be there, I suppose, to have a chinwag. And that's about it. That's what we're doing. So I think it holds about 100 to 140 people, if I'm right. I don't know. And you can go into the New Horizons website. That's New Horizons at St. Anne's, and you'll find their website. And it's on events, and it'll tell you what's going on. I think it starts at about 7 o'clock, but it actually will start presenting at 7:30, and I think it closes at 10. One other thing, annual memberships. So last year, when people joined as a member in May, June, July, August, and early September, if you remember, we had a bit of a problem with PayPal. PayPal cut us off. So anybody that joined for 12 months there, you're coming up to your annual membership. And obviously, it won't be renewed by PayPal because we don't use them now. They're not our friends. And so you will have problems rejoining. Paying on the new system because it caused a glitch in the system. So if you were on an annual membership, it basically means you can't rejoin on the same plan as last year. So you've got several options. You can either join on a monthly if you want to, or a quarterly membership, but not annually. If you do want an annual account, I will physically have to delete your account so you can start again.
Right, so that makes sense.
So you can email us at info@sheepfarm.co.uk if you're not getting snookered. Or if not, you can join monthly or quarterly if that's what you wish. But if you want to join annually, you'll have to email me and I will delete your account. Then you can start again from afresh.
Hmm.
Hopefully that explains it. If not, just email me.
info@chieffan.co.uk. It's almost like it's been made awkward on purpose.
Possibly. Maybe it's something we could do. I mean, as you go along, sometimes you've got to reinvest in the website and all that type of stuff.
Well, after that, though, I deleted my PayPal account because I had one. And it was difficult to delete it.
Yeah, you can't get rid of these things, can you? They're like, they are parasites.
Parasites.
Yeah, electronic parasites. I had planned to do a live YouTube. I nearly said YouTube then. YouTube.
Whatever's on your mind.
YouTube-a-lube on next Thursday. But I've decided to cancel that because I've taken a bit too much on, to be quite honest. That's the 8th of June. And we were going to do a live presentation on Who Funds the Fact Checkers, which we're going to do now in a podcast version. And we'll just keep this going because we've got quite a few things on, as we explained before.
And I said to you, I thought we were doing a bit too much. And you said, you should have told me. It's my fault.
You should have told me.
Always my fault.
I could stop a raging bull.
Yeah. Always my fault. Yeah. Why didn't you say something? So if I would have told you and said, do you not think we're taking too much on? Oh, yeah, you fucking lazy bastard. Yeah, there's no win there.
I never said that to you.
Yeah.
I think, well, again, you get a bee in your bonnet. You see these people like from the BBC and it sets you off on one. And yeah, there you go. Anyway, moving on. There's been some really good comments on the Doors of Deception that we did.
Right.
And the Huxley stuff overall, really. One of the messages, I'm going to read three out, actually. Not in total. And I could have chosen quite a lot of them, but there you go. But this one was quite funny as well. As a young US baby boomer, born 1959, I grew up on the 60s mind control. A lot less vicious than what we have seen today, but effective and more believable. I know the official Doors story well, and I've been aware of the truth of story for many years, but your investigation added much more detail to it, and that isn't easy to find. Just to add, even by official accounts, Jim Morrison was a fat little bully as a child. it looks like early abuse, and a pudgy youth as pictured with his father on the USS whatever. He then turns up on a California beach months later looking like a young Adonis with the chops ready to front an Ed Sullivan, who was also a major player, act. Maybe LSD and beans could be the next weight loss craze. Anyway, this guy told a story where he actually went to see... Was it this guy? No, sorry, there's another one. So that's an interesting story as well. So, yeah, anyway. Another one, Bloody Crawford. Can you remember I mentioned that Jim Morrison was related to the Crawfords?
Yeah.
Yeah, through his, I think, maternal side. Anyway, I had to drop a quick line because you mentioned the Crawfords and I just so happened to be married to one of them. A direct descendant, and yes, we did breed, so I apologise for the dreadful genocide due to the transgressions in advance. The real reason for writing is Christian's perspective of these people being easy recruitment fodder was bang on. My impression of this type is that they are raised being taught that they are superior due to their bloodline, but lack any kind of talent or drive to demonstrate this.
Right. Well, I mean, that's like we've talked about with artists, I suppose, the most obvious one, where the talentless ones, which you would presume were talentless, because it's quite evident in art, isn't it? More than most art forms, I suppose, in actual, you know, can you actually draw anything or paint anything? I mean, it's all the mediocre ones rise to the top and go for a fortune, or even the really shite ones, to be honest.
Yeah.
You know, it's probably the most obvious. And anyone can be schooled in anything, can't they, really? Yeah. Especially with music, they can just digitize it and do whatever to make anyone sound good. Yeah. I mean, we've seen that. I mean, probably beyond, even probably going back to Beatles times, but more so now with all the technology they've got to change people's voices. Some of them actually can't even probably sing.
Yeah, well, you'd probably say that any sort of social entertainment, no matter what it is controlled by of some sort. I think not everybody's under mind control, like, say, Britney Spears, for argument's sake. But I think you only need one person in a band to be that, and they are controlled. You only need the record label to be controlling it, and they are controlled. So they control every aspect of it. And obviously then you're insiders, but Yeah.
Well, even talking about artists, they don't have to be control. They don't have to be in on it themselves. Just the
No.
people around them
Yeah.
that are pushing their shite forward, I suppose.
Well, somebody sent me an image of Ed Sheeran, I think it was, with about 10 different pictures with him with something over in one of his eyes. Now, I've never taken a picture like that. Oh, no, I tell a lie. I had an eye operation when I was five, and my mum decided to take loads of pictures of me with a patch over my eye on my corporation glasses.
Everyone
Other
had
than that, right, I've never had
that.
pictures taken in my life with an hand over my eye or anything like that. It's something that people don't do, right? Now, that doesn't mean to say that Ed Sheeran's some sort of satanic blood worshipper, but it could be the guy who's taking the pictures or the management team that say, that's
Or
what you need to
his
do.
parents,
I mean,
you know, it could be anybody.
but how can you actually say, you're taking a picture, all these stars, film stars, pop star, whatever, take a picture with one hand over their eye or something. Why? I don't understand. Other than something that's a message, right? There is no reason why all these people put one hand over their eye. Anyway, just an
Wonder if it
observation.
still does it still go on that? Because I mean
Oh yeah.
that you know that famous picture of loads of people doing it or video of loads of people doing it. Has it gone now into the I
Yeah,
suppose Ed
seems to
Sheeran's a
be.
new
I don't really
Ed
take any
Sheeran's
notes of
fairly
it.
new, innit? I
Yeah.
suppose.
Yeah.
Well, at least to me. I don't know.
Anyway, let's move on. Another chap, I think it's a chap. Anyway, the first concert I ever went to in my life just so happened to be the final Doors concert ever played. It was at a place called The Warehouse, and he said it was the real warehouse in New Orleans. I was 14 years old and stole my parents' car and picked up my friends and went.
You know,
I bet that's been a family story for
we're a
years, that.
nutter.
Yeah, awesome. Being only 14 years old, I mean, who's thinking about common sense then? Well, I wasn't. So we parked the car only a block away from the Federal Housing Project. The concert itself, if you would call it that, was horrible. Morrison was drunk off his ass and couldn't even get his words out. At a certain point, quite soon after it began, they all quit playing and walked off the stage.
Right. I mean, that's interesting in itself because that, I thought maybe that was a fallacy story, to be fair.
Yeah.
But you got someone who were actually there.
We're actually there.
Because he showed it in the film, didn't they? At the end, towards the end, he was just drunk and he wasn't doing anything,
Yeah.
you know. And that's what caused all the trouble in the band.
Yeah, apparently. He said, my friends and I walked back to my parents' car only to find that all four tires had been stolen. Oh no, we were all girls, so it ain't a chap. So it were a girl that stole car, even better. At that age, or any. We were all girls, and at that age, or any age in that neighborhood, we were scared to death and pissed off about our first concert experience being so lousy. We took a cab home, and the rest wasn't too pleasant, meaning when my parents got home. Yeah, anyway. So, as for the Doors in general, I don't like them. Felt betrayed by all these people once my eyes were open. It's a real emotional betrayal when one finds that the music that attracted one's deep emotional life experiences has been made as part of an agenda and was all meant to fuck with one's head. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not wrong there. I think we're all in that club. Another one. A million thanks for being among the few who literally call a spade. I call you a spade sometimes.
Because they're
That's more of
literally,
a racial context. But and at the end it says belonging to a member of the Huxter family. So that word for word as it was.
that's a strange one, isn't it? I wonder what that
Yeah.
means.
Yeah. Interesting. So this episode is we're going to start with what got a bee under my bonnet was the Ministry of Truth or of Fact and Fiction, the BBC, the Mariana Spring thing, Verify or whatever it's called, where, I mean, that's just a joke. We're going to talk about that in the second part. But what I wanted to do was go into who funds these people. Having spent over a year researching the Brave New World Order and Huxley's, it struck me that we should probably include the news as well. I mean, a lot of spin-offs from this stuff, isn't there, Chris? We've spoke about a lot of spin-offs, especially after that three-part Mockingbird series about George Orwell, because he's gone from writing biography-type books to writing 1984 and Animal Farm and working for The Observer and all the other newspapers he worked for and the BBC. And when you think about that mix there, and he worked for security intelligence agencies. All of a sudden, that is what Mockingbird is, isn't it?
Mm.
And I've heard stories about Mariana Spring and lots of other BBC people being approached by intelligence services. So that's an interesting proposition. These people don't think know they're being approached by intelligence services, because it's like third hand, isn't it? It's someone who heads up part of, I don't know, policy control for some civil service thing, and they think they're doing a good deed, but in reality they're all getting joint.
Well, he stopped like, he worked for Yorkshire Post, I believe, didn't it? but when you think TV then would have been in its infancy.
Yeah.
Radio, not that old, really.
Yeah.
So newspapers were the ultimate propaganda machine, weren't they? Yeah. I mean, it's only recently, really, that newspapers have probably lost the clout since the rise of the internet.
Yeah.
But that's, again, if you think of Johnson, did an article in newspaper. You know, all these people started off doing newspaper stuff before.
Yeah, they gave him a pay rise, didn't they? Because he were telling the truth, Johnson.
Yeah.
he got sacked for lying. Then he became Prime Minister. There you go. That's
what. Told more lies.
But I mean, Orwell worked for the Information Research Department. He produced Orwell's list for the intelligence services. And after his death, the rights to Animal Farm were sold to the CIA. And both Animal Farm and 1984 were used by the IRD and the CIA. He also worked for the BBC, producing propaganda shows. And that's on the Orwell Society's website. That's what they say. Producing propaganda shows. Wife number one, Eileen O'Shaughnessy, worked for the Ministry of Information. Wife number two also worked for the IRD, and she was the one who sold the rights to the CIA.
Mm.
And so it seems that the current BBC's Ministry of Truth mouthpiece has also links to the intelligence services, but the BBC funded by the government, which, I mean, if you're funded by the government, you're working for the machine, aren't you? You're working for the machine.
And
you
also,
don't question the machine.
Also, it's allegedly illegal not to have a frigging license to watch BBC.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, how do they get involved with, like, the police?
Legal system.
Legal system is what I'm trying to say, yeah.
Yeah. Well, they're selling frequencies. Mm. All about selling frequencies, isn't it? The BBC via Ms. Spring are now, according to them, the de facto disinformation experts and the purveyors of all truth for the world. Because they were known for a long time as, the BBC World Service were known for, like, being the world's truth, wasn't it? It's just not bloody English.
Everyone admires the BBC. But it's almost like they've been saying that mantra themselves. Not that I know anyone who says that. It's banded around. And also, you've got to ask yourself, do people actually go to prison for not paying their, what is it, license?
I don't know.
There were always stories in papers, weren't they, saying an old granny had gone, or is an old granny had gone to prison for not paying?
Oh, there's a van going round that's...
with a big...
That reminds me of East Germany. They used to...
The big radar on top spinning around.
The Nazis used to drive around in vans trying to check where radio signals were coming from the resistance within Germany or the French resistance. Brilliant.
Yeah, this one, they're making sure you've got it. Does that even exist?
I don't know.
I would doubt it doesn't.
Don't know.
Doubt it doesn't.
I started writing this. It was a bit of a rant, but anyway. I mean, I'll use we because it could be about us. But anyway, I'm not clever. I left school with no qualifications. I'm just a dumb, uneducated husband, father, grandfather. I'm a middle-aged, mixed-race Yorkshireman. I haven't had your training, BBC presenters training, in asking questions from the Tony Blair finishing school, answering and avoiding questions that should be. I'm not a disinformation expert. Neither have I been given free rein to bully, harass the citizens of this country, of your country, with a seemingly bottomless pit of funding, film crews, editors and scriptwriters. In fact, I'm not an expert of anything, nor do I claim to be. I'm asking questions about the system, the government, all the political parties, large corporates, NGOs, and policy-changing entities like the BBC, the World Economic Forum, and the UN, all of which have a track record of lying.
Mm.
The BBC and Mariana says that the current excess deaths are not because of the Britney Spears, but due to lockdown measures, which they say saved millions of lives.
Mm.
Or hundreds of thousands of lives in this country. So using the BBC's own answers and ignoring the bleeding obvious ones, let's just say the propaganda pushed by the BBC or the mainstream media is true. I ask you a few questions. There are many more, so don't think I've missed any out here. I'm just giving some guidelines. Try not to put your Sammy Davis tap dancing shoes on to answer them. Currently, there are about 2,000 to 3,000 extra deaths over the five-year average per week, and these are the government's own ONS figures, excluding the three-dart finish, which the BBC are choosing to ignore. With hindsight, were these measures taken in 2020 worth it? Question one. Yeah. Question one. So these excess deaths have been going on, well, since the Spears, right? So if you don't believe it were the Spears and you believe it were lockdowns, times that by 2,000 people a week, times by 18 months, right? And tell me, were it worth it when you're saying if it were lockdowns that caused it, not Divock, was it worth it? You're talking hundreds of thousands of people here now, yeah? Now, was it worth saving hundreds of thousands of people to kill hundreds of thousands of people?
No.
Was it worth it? Right. What's closing down the UK in 2020? And we're stacking us with around £500 billion worth of debt, plunging the UK into probably the worst recession that we'll ever know, destroying businesses, generational businesses and livelihoods, increasing the cost of living to record-breaking highs. Like, it reminds me of Germany after World War II. I now ask you, BBC, was it worth it? Was 2020 hindsight? These are just two questions. You know, there are loads more questions. Doesn't it strike you as strange that all this happens simultaneously all over the world, destroying generational culture for the World Economic Forum's Great Reset, pushed by all governments at the same time in lockstep? With 2020 hindsight, was it worth it? And what is the budget for this type of operation that you're running, this BBC Verify, that the BBC are producing? And what is the interest, what is the real interest from the British public in viewing these type of programmes? What are the viewing figures? Because most people I know and speak to never even watched it, never listened to it. You know, imagine the amount of effort and time, you know, film editors going out to interview these people. It must be costing literally millions to do this.
Yeah. Well, do you remember that Heart one that we got taken down? I remember saying that to you at the time. That takes some effort, doesn't it, to make that video about young people?
Yes. That's a proper production, Chris. That's a film production.
Yeah. The editors,
cameramen,
microphone guys, everything.
Is this writing worth the license payer fee payer's money?
No. Of course.
This isn't about the license fee payer, though, is it?
No.
This
it's not even about viewing figures. It's just about having it out there.
It's about torturing people who dare question. You know, are there some lunatics out there that do harm people? Yes, there are. I'm sure there are. But they've always been there. These people have always been there.
Yeah, but if you look at the news fire and it's murders here, murders there, mad dogs killing people, all this lot. I'm not scared of any
knife
of that
crime
shit.
Here, knife crime there.
Knife crime. I'm not scared of any of that shit. I'm scared of these knobheads that are running the actual show.
Yes.
That's where my fear is. Just like the virus. I was never scared of it. I was scared of what these knobheads were going to do next.
Yes.
And that's all I'm ever scared of. Do you know what I mean? I don't worry about other things. That's it. All I'm ever worried about is what, like the Ukraine bollocks. What are they going to do next? Not what is Putin going to do or the Ukraine or whatever. It's what are these knobheads doing this for?
Well, let's look at it another way. If you believed again, if we stop giving arms away, I don't want my money spending on arms.
No.
And I guarantee you, if you put that as a referendum vote and it were an honest vote, most of the population would say, I don't want my money spending on weapons. Thank you very much.
No.
Yeah. Especially to that little shit in his H&M green.
And it doesn't matter how much you tell us they're the bad guys, they're the good guys, because there's an whole nation of Russians who believe they're the good guys.
Yeah.
So explain that away.
Well, the Chinese apparently believe the Russians. There's more of them.
Well, I'm drifting more. I probably believe the Russians more than I do our government, if I'm honest with you. But I don't believe either, because I think they're all in it together. It's just big shenanigans, isn't it? Yeah. And also, I watched a documentary today on Odyssey called The Unseen Crisis, right? And I don't know who made it, if I'm honest with you. I just came across it and ended up watching it. I'd recommend it. It's on Odyssey, probably other places. And it's a proper produced film. And they're going around interviewing people who've got damaged kids or family members or dead.
Tapped. Tapped. Finished. Yeah.
Why aren't these knobheads making films like that?
because Chris,
these
they're a minority,
people,
Chris. That's why
these are human beings, and they're not. They're all damaged and not getting anything, and losing all the money, losing all the finances, and it's not even. I mean, it's still flabbergasting how that can happen.
Well, again, they took the weapons that killed Jab off, to stop that one because it was destroying people's lives.
Yeah.
We mentioned that later, but that destroying people's lives. But yet, if it destroyed people's lives and they're slowly, sneakily taking it away, where are all the people then?
Yeah. Do you know that one woman who came forward? I mean, I don't know why she was in this documentary. I've seen her before, and she had a kid at the trial. Do you remember? And
she's got in America.
Pipe up her nose. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it showed some video of her when she first. I mean, I can't even imagine if she, all three of her kids got went on the trial. I think you know they thought they were doing the right whatever, but the video of the young girl rolling around on the floor with her eyes going fucking sideways.
Yeah, no.
I mean, can you imagine that happening to your nipper?
Well,
I honestly, and you, I mean, she, I'm sure she was thinking my nipper is just going to drop dead at any second.
Well, I mean,
not one big pharma person, even though they've made this document, would come forward to discuss it.
None of them will do. None of them will, because they're all parasites.
Because they're rat bastards.
Yeah, because they're parasites. And this comes back to, I mean, who funds the fact checkers? Who funds the BBC? The BBC say, well, I remember somebody doing a Freedom of Information saying, Bill Gates funds you. And they go, no, he doesn't. He funds BBC Media Services, I think it is. We're going to come to it. And, well, hang on a minute. That's like me having three different companies. You've got Gaping Gobs there. You've got another company and another company. And I invest in Gaping Gobs, and you happen to be a director of all the other ones, right? And I say, I'm going to invest in Gaping Gobs if you do this with your other ones.
Yeah.
Right? Well, no, I'm not going to do it. Well, I won't invest then. It don't work like that, Chris, does it?
No.
It's all honest and upfront. I'll give you this to your charity. Could you do that? No. Oh, no worries then. Here's me £20 million. Don't worry. It always obviously works like that. That's how it works every time. Because now Bitch Tits Gates has got a bat phone there where he says, right, I want an interview, and BBC just
drop everything.
Throw all cameras at him. And I saw an interview with him, right? And I tried putting it on a 30-minute countdown, and it had a copyright, and so I thought, I'm not going to use that. But anyway, and it was this guy we're interviewing, very similar questioner, very same trained, right, cocky, sure guy of himself, questioning who he was. He heads up some angle, I don't forget what it was, and he questions him. And one of his questions is, you fly around in a private jet, basically. Yeah. Aren't you a hypocrite? Talking about global climate warming, it's a total drought, but it's pissing down change. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he said, no, because my family says spend millions on carbon offsets.
Well, so he plants trees.
Whatever he thinks he's planning, right? So that's all right then. So what you're saying is if you spend an equal amount of money on what you're doing, then there is no issue. So why not tell us then, right? If you spend $5,000 a year planting trees or whatever you think is right, then let's all do it.
Mm.
Right? That's one. But the smarmy way he said it, I spend millions and I invest in changing this, that, and
the other. I've always said that with these scumbags, though, fine. They always use billions and just to totally make you go, wow.
You're amazing. Yeah. You're amazing, Bill. But this guy might as well have had his tongue up his ass.
Mm.
Yeah. That's the interview. That's what he gets. The power that his money gives him by investing it in this charity is that on
just
all
to line up the questions so he can knock him down.
And let's face it, he's not a good talker, is he?
Who?
Bitch Tits. He's not a good talker. He's not a good talker. He doesn't look well. He doesn't look comfortable. And anyway, so we're going to look at who funds these people. But truth versus fact, opinions versus truth, it is different because fact is not truth. Truth is not fact. Truth and lies, fact and fiction, two different things. When lies become truth, the truth is a lie. Let's get one thing straight. Fact is not the truth. The meaning of fact is a fact is a thing that is known or proved to be true. Known or proved to be true. Chris, I'm telling you, blue is yellow. Everyone knows that, apart from you. That's known now. And this is what's happening. blue is yellow. There's a drought. There's global climate warming change. There's whatever. So that's proved now. It's proved because all these experts have agreed with me that blue is yellow. All right. And they're standing up on telly telling me blue is yellow. That's true now. That's fact. Yeah? You can't argue with that one. A fact is information used as evidence or part of a report or news article. Many facts, like weapons of mass destruction, were said in the early 2000, the prelude to the invasion of Iraq. That reminds me of that, because they're used as evidence, used as evidence. So if you go to court and I give up, get all this evidence, that's why lawyers, they get all this evidence, most of it's shit, but it looks like there's a load of evidence. Yeah? And so that can't be a lie because there's all this evidence. Some of it's got to be true. So just because you win as the Birmingham Six, I think the judge said they should all be hung.
Yeah.
25 years later, they get let out or whatever it was because they were all innocent. You know, they were all inside. I think one of them died inside.
And like I said, look at the Iraq War. I mean, I think that was probably my biggest part of my eyes opening, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
Because even on a surface level, if they were guilty, if they had the weapons of mass destruction, right, even in my younger mind, there's still no reason to bomb an entire nation, sovereign nation, because you suspect that someone's got some weapons. We've got weapons. Why can we have them and they can't have them? What have they done that we've not done?
Yeah,
well, they're the ones who go around invading the whole fucking world. not Iraq.
I mean,
Iraq have never invaded anyone.
Well, I mean, you could say they invaded Kuwait, and there have been wars where they war with Iran.
However, nothing to do with
right,
us.
But right, this is fact and fiction, truth and lies. Facts are used to prove truth. Yeah? So a fact isn't truth. So a fact checker, if I say to you, that's a fact, that isn't the truth. That is truth about events as opposed to interpretation. So again, events used as evidence, known or proved to be true. You know, all these things are used in law and things like that. And in law, a fact is a statement that can be verified.
It's where they got the name from.
If you own the verification of that, then that's fact. There is 91 DIVOC. Look at all these experts here that used to work for all the pharmaceutical companies, but that's all right. Don't worry about it. We'll make a Barbie doll of them later. That's all right. It's fine. They're experts. It can be verified. We're verifying it now. So it's something known to have happened or to exist is fact, something known. So if I rewrite the history books, that's known. Now, that's fact because Professor such and such, Professor Cox is telling me that that's fact now. This is how they blur everything. So for fact, that's several different meanings I've just pulled out there. Yeah?
Yeah.
That's how they blur it. None of them are saying it's the truth. Not one of them. The opposite of fact is fiction. Literature in the form of prose that describes imaginary events and people. So fiction, I mean, let's view it from the topsy-turvy world that we live in, spin it round. Imaginary events, so that's fiction. But yet, fact is the same. Because you can't prove that's true either. What they're saying, it's a culmination of things that we can say to you is true. That's not the truth. As we're seeing. It's a bit like chemtrailing. Oh, no, there's no such thing as chemtrailing. No, but there is. Because they were spraying zinc cadmium for 30, 40 years via Operation Paperclip and the large area coverage trials. That's a fact. That's the truth. They were doing it. Why ain't anybody explaining that one? Anyway. There can only ever be one truth, but there are many facts, fiction and lies. The truth, I think it was Winston Churchill, whether it were him that said this, but it was given to him. The truth is hidden in a veil of lies.
Pretty true words.
Yeah. Truth meaning a quality or state of being true. Well, that doesn't sound like truth. Quality or state of being true. That sounds like belief. A quality. And truth is also a fact or belief that is accepted as true, accepted. So you've got to believe a fact and you accept it as truth, Chris.
Mm.
So you've got to believe Chris Whitty, accept it as truth. You've got to believe Boris Johnson.
You've got to believe
Rishi
the science.
Sunak. Yeah, you've got to believe the science. That's what this is all about. That's what this is all about. Where now we've got the misinformation or disinformation experts now clouding the judgment. This is a military grade psyop.
Mm.
That's what this is. It's a military grade psyop. They're playing around with people's minds. You know, wear a mask. You don't need to wear a mask.
Even mask with the global protection. Climate warming thing, they say, I think it's one out of 1,000 scientists don't believe in global climate warming. I'm sure it's a lot more than that. But why can't we talk to that one scientist?
It only takes one to be right, doesn't it?
Yeah. Why can't we see him on TV?
But the way I look at it is, apparently, the vast amount of Germans were Nazis at the time. As soon as war finished, it turned it off. They weren't Nazis anymore. Mm. Also, the vast amount of them, if the vast amount of them were Nazis, just because there's more people agree with something doesn't make it right.
No. Well, if you flip
majority
it
isn't right.
If you flip it on its side, then one guy couldn't come up with the theory of gravity, Isaac Newton, because why would you listen to that one guy? Yeah. Stephen Hawking couldn't come up with the theory of black holes, because why would you listen to that one guy?
Yeah.
But they did, apparently.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
They were
just
a genius.
That one guy. Just that one guy.
Wernher von Braun were a genius. We listened to
one guy.
That one guy.
Yeah.
But why not flip it around the other way instead of, you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah. But most of them scientists as well in global climate warming change had signed that IPCC book.
He's got
stuff. Weren't even climate scientists.
Yeah.
There were lots of different scientists that just signed it.
Mm.
So yeah, you try and find 1,000 professor climate scientists. I bet there isn't even 1,000.
You only see them on TV, don't you?
Yeah, but not 1,000. So fact or fiction is about building of evidence to prove someone or something is or is not true. Evidence is not always the truth, i.e. the Birmingham Six. When facts, fiction and lies become truth, the truth is a lie. And that is where we are. That is what we are. Again, your analogy, you said that Royal Family program where it says, this isn't the truth or something like that on the beginning of the Netflix film.
Ah, that Netflix Crown thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I heard it on the radio. They said that there should be a warning at the beginning because people think it's true. but it's made to be perceived as true, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's not made to look like fiction. It's made to look really true.
Well, again, I mean, anybody who's been watching the Brave New World Order series, we just recorded episode 5, I think. Some of that's about the BBC. You remember a family member of the Huxleys was involved in the founding of the BBC.
Mm.
And so this, and they worked on secret telecoms and technologies that were being used as weapons. And so we have to understand that this technology that they used it in two different ways. One, they used it as so you can do things like this, be on Zoom and record things. And another one is they can weaponize it. Hence, the Havana syndrome or whatever it's called, where apparently they fried a load of people in Havana, which were probably Americans frying their own people because they have been known to do that from time to time. I think soon they're launching the BBC and Channel 4 launching Mariana in Conspiracy Land.
I'll watch that.
I'm going to watch that. I'll tune into that. But if you remember, Chris, they did this after 9/11, didn't they? Mm. Where they brought out all them conspiracy files and stuff like that.
I watched. Do you know what? I'll tell you what I did. I watched one of them, right, and then I could see the format, right, and the format in that conspiracy files the BBC did was. They showed all the, you know, say for instance, they did 9/11. They showed loads of people, you know, researched and whatever. So they got all the evidence together. And then they spent, so for the first 3 quarters, they got all the evidence together, making you go, oh, wow, wow, wow. And then they just spent the last 10 minutes just saying it were all bullshit. No matter what it was, but what he said is rubbish. And what he said is not, you know, I'm giving a very basic thing. But every episode, and I went through the whole lot and I just watched the beginning and the end, and every single one of them did exactly the same thing.
Yeah,
get all the truth out there and then just debunk it at the end for the last 10 minutes.
Yeah, that's very similar to if anybody questions anything now, you're far right, anti-Semite, racist.
To be fair, who is it did the same show in America? Joe Rogan. was virtually the same show.
Yeah.
Give all that stuff, then just debunk it all at the end.
Yeah.
Very strange. I mean, wrong, yeah. Obviously there for a reason.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, for me, it's like they're trying too hard. It's like there's a desperation of trying to get people away from looking into things themselves. Trust the science. Believe the science. Believe the experts. Yeah. And it looks, it's a bit pathetic, really, because, again, why isn't there somebody on the other side? If the BBC was fair, why? I mean, I'm not a troll. I don't go on social media, right? Yeah. I don't call people out. Even people listening who email in who I don't agree with, I'm not saying the names or anything. Like, even people who've given nice comments, I don't say the name. Mm. I'm not a troll. I'm not trying to call people out. But yet, we're classed as trolls.
Right-wing extremists.
Right-wing extremist trolls. And I'm politically not attached to anybody. And never will be.
No. And I couldn't be bothered ranting at someone either.
No. And the amount of effort and time that's put in. Why aren't there somebody on the other side saying, a lot of this stuff that's actually being said is actually true. So even if we think these people are absolute nutters, right, we've got to say that a lot of this stuff's come true.
Well, I think as much as we're being propagandized more than ever, I think one thing for sure is it probably stinks more than ever if it is circling the drain. The system they've got is crumbling.
It's going down the plug. Well,
yeah. I mean, it might be 100 years, it might be 200, who knows? But there's definitely a massive stink of fear in there.
Yeah, yeah. And the time and money they're investing in to get... If you think about the breakdown, I don't know, we're talking about something slightly different here, but apparently 22 or 25%, whatever numbers you want to call it, 20% didn't have the tap. I had one tap. Yeah. That, again, that isn't the people that have woken up. They're just ones that realised that was not right to do. Some of them have fallen right down the rabbit hole, I've no doubt. Yeah. That's just people realising that one, that didn't sit right.
Yeah, but
right
what you've got there, that's 20 people who aren't compliant.
Yes.
20% of people who aren't, they're not compliant.
Yeah, but they might be compliant for...
Yeah, but it doesn't matter because they're not compliant with the main thing that they wanted them to do.
I know. But the amount of time and effort that's gone into this... On Mariana's Twitter account, she says she's excited about the launch of BBC Verify, bringing together expertise in disinformation, open source, and analysis. Let's just say somebody's an expert, disinformation. Where, if you're an expert, by your own standards, there must be some university qualification that you've come out of, or you've been through some training, maybe MI6 training, to be a disinformation. Because if you can understand disinformation, you've been trained to produce disinformation. You get me drift?
Yeah.
From somewhere. And yeah, anyway.
And all they're doing is saying, we're basically calling anyone... disinformation if they don't agree with the government and BBC narrative.
Yeah.
That's all it is. There's nothing else. That's all it is. If you don't agree with us, then you're disinformation.
Yeah. You're a nutter.
You're a nutter. You're lying. You're right. You're dangerous. You're right-wing extremist.
Well, I mean, in fairness, I'll keep investigating harm caused by disinfo, conspiracy movements, trolling, and all things social media.
Shouldn't investigate anything.
No, there's no investigation.
She's not an investigator. She's just a reporter. She's just a talk piece.
Yeah.
She's not anything else other than that, is she?
No, well, I don't think so. But disinfo, harm caused by disinfo.
Have you seen any harm caused by disinformation over the last 3 years? I've seen a lot of harm caused by BBC and government information.
Yeah, one thing I would say is that I don't know anybody who hasn't had a tap who's come to me and said, I wish I'd have got 3 down finish. I know people who've been jabbed who feel like rat shit now and wish they hadn't had it. I've met lots of different people say, I wish I hadn't have had it.
Well, like I said, if you watch that documentary, I watched that Unseen Crisis, if it didn't fill you with rage, and it's quite harrowing as well, because there's a guy there whose son died and stuff. It's just, and then you've got this twat just saying what she wants, getting away with it.
Yeah.
But then these people, human beings who have made this documentary, they're liars and trolls, and according to her, and different disinformation. How can you say that when someone's kids died?
I know.
That's what we're talking
again,
about.
Again, that's what bullies use. What they tell you are, that's what bullies do, don't they? Yeah. They use what they're saying you shouldn't do or that you are, right? by, I mean, she actually says she's been trolled, but never comes with any
evidence.
There's no evidence to say what's what. But
what does that
anything,
mean as well?
But
again,
I
don't agree with you, Mariana.
yeah, that could be. I don't agree with you, Mariana. Oh, you're a troll. Yeah. I don't, you know, it's you're being awkward. You're a troll. On a Wikipedia page, it said the focus of my job is to humanize disinformation. Now, I mean, that very phrase there, I mean, that could have been in any communist or Nazi manifesto, to humanize disinformation and explain its impact. Explain, so give them facts, make them believe, impact to viewers, listeners, and readers. That was in March 2021. I mean, that whole thing about that, you got to go now.
Yeah, I've got to do for. How much of that they got left?
Oh, there's loads left because we were talking that much. We didn't.
Well, we can do a
it's
bit.
It's quite
more.
Interesting, isn't it? That.
Mm. What day is it today? It's Thursday, isn't it?
Yeah, we haven't even started really. I haven't even got through all these companies that. I mean, with this type of work here. All right, well, it seems clear that we're about 40 minutes in. We're not going to get into the research that I already did, as usual. We're going to carry on talking.
Don't waste it. Go into it next time.
Yeah, we're going to carry on chatting about this in hour two anyway, but we'll do it next week, and we'll do it as a full podcast next week because there's too much to talk about, isn't there? I mean, something came to you earlier on today, didn't it?
Yeah, well... You know, it probably sounds quite obvious now, but I was saying to you, is everything that's not, because basically I've been watching some videos about the COVID nonsense and you kind of think, are we boring ourselves talking about it? But then when you think about it again, you think this is the most important thing that's happened and possibly the biggest attack on humanity since World War II or Vietnam or whatever you want to talk about.
Or ever.
Or just another attack on humanity. And over half the population have had it.
Over half? That's a three quarters.
Yeah, I'm going lightly there, but it just dawned on me and I thought, is it because we don't really talk about Ukraine, Rusty Tank War and stuff like that, and LGBT, we don't really go on about that stuff too much, do we? But it just dawned on me, I thought, is everything a distraction? Every single thing a distraction? Well, I'll tell you what it was, we were on about that Jamie Foxx thing, because he's been in some... on the spectrum of apparently he's in a bad way. I mean,
apparently he's blind and paralyzed, Chris, and they have blood clots in brain.
Yeah. But then I was saying to you, and this is me talking super conspiracy, right? Is that even true? I mean, I know that it probably is, but I'm just saying we're so paranoid now and we end up discussing about these things. Well, that is that even, have they got him out of the picture to get us wanging on about it? Who knows? But then I was saying to you, maybe everything's a distraction. Everything, from LGBT.
And everything can be used as a distraction, can it?
Everything can be used as a distraction. So maybe the biggest thing that's happened in our lifetimes is being covered up by constant propaganda distractions, i.e. Rusty Tank War, LGBT, Black Lives Matter, blah, blah, everything.
Yeah.
Because we forget we had silence and nothing but COVID. And then all of a sudden, all these things just came out of nowhere. Global climate warming. Is everything a distraction? Even just because, just to bide the time until the fruition of their evil master plan,
eugenics plan.
Yeah, I mean, well, it's a dark thought, but is it? Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, a lot of these things have been in planning for generations. They certainly ramped it up after World War II, and they certainly ramped it up after World War I, etc., etc., and certainly ramped it up after 9/11. And so you can see direct lines are cut, and probably after JFK and all these other things that have happened, and to get us to this point now where.
Well,
people believe what's going on is true. That's, and going back to what you were just saying about Jamie Foxx there, I don't think it matters whether it's real or not.
Well,
I mean, because if all these other people that we've heard about and knew hadn't been dropping light and having the exact same thing that he's had, I heard another story today. My wife was showing something on Instagram. A lady was pregnant during last week of a pregnancy. She had either a stroke or she had a brain clot. An aneurysm. She's in her 30s, this girl, right?
That's not
so
normal, is it?
She's in a coma now. They delivered the baby okay. The baby's fine. But what I'm trying to say is we're hearing about these stories all the time.
Well, they're going into mainstream now, aren't they? That's the thing.
They're in the mainstream. So if Jamie Foxx would have happened on its own, you know, you could have said maybe, but we're hearing about it on the street, in
but
the news.
Even then, actually, thinking
minor
about
celebs.
That, if this had have happened to, say, Jamie Foxx, for instance, 4 years ago, he'd have been a bigger story, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Actor ends up with whatever.
Yeah. And let's take
it. He's pretty famous. He would have been a massive story. He's kind of mentioned, but not really mentioned.
And Jamie Foxx, he looked like he looked after himself.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of these people have got private natural health care and all this type of stuff. Now, but they might still be eating 10 McDonald's a day. I don't know what they're doing, but...
Well, you would think just on the insurance level. He was in the middle of a big film.
Yeah. But going back to where we started, is all this... There's two things, in my opinion, that's happened since 2020. One, they turned on 5G. Two, they've jabbed everybody. They're the two things that they're not talking about. The two things, that they'll still mention COVID, but they won't talk about the damage that the vaccines have done. And that's where we are with the BBC. They're still trying to cover it up. A bit like 9/11, where when Judy Wood's story came out, even the people that thought it were bombs in the building wouldn't entertain her story.
But this
and
is
it's a similar sort of process.
This is something that everyone's actually had a procedure done to them.
Yes.
So this is worse.
The scale of this is
and
huge.
I think what got it floating around my head, I was watching Mark's thing in Stockholm they did. And he was on about, we all know about predictive programming, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But he was talking about that and the ones for COVID as well.
Yeah.
And some of them go back years. So what I mean is, if the plan's that old it's lined up for now, the distractions would be lined up for now.
Of course it would. Look at, like you say, look, I mean, just off top of his head, let's list the distractions. You've got Rusty Tank War. You've got everything that's involved in that.
Possible nuclear bombs. Putin should be assassinated.
Yeah, whatever.
All these water cooler stories that everyone can talk about.
Is H&M green gear? You've got
English people saying he should be assassinated, that man. Well, you don't know anything about it, do you?
No. And let's face it. Anyway, so you've got one. You've got all of a sudden, and although it's been on the horizon, LGBTQABCDFCIA, although it's been on the horizon, they've certainly cranked it up over the last 3 years. That volume's been turned up. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you could say it's been turned up to a bloody mean.
Yeah. To
craziness,
ridiculous
at the
levels.
Moment. Yeah.
You've got the Black Lives Matter stuff that happened all the way through that. You've got the stop oil nonsense.
And
the global climate warming change that's cranking up now.
And certain different branches of that. Yeah. To get
and 15-minute cities. You know, you could drill down and look at that, and you've got 15-minute cities. You've got all this other stuff, that Agenda 2030, all this other stuff that's going on with it. You know, you could go on and on and on.
And every one of them subjects gets people arguing about them.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, and then you've got the breakdown of society. You've got the NHS. Well, not being able to look after people, you've got
police,
all the other stuff
that
going
went through
on.
It as well. The police, and the financial thing. Everyone's bills going up.
Yeah,
I mean, they were talking about his bills going up before they ever went up.
Yeah. Also, then you've got that bloody Boris Johnson nonsense. You know, Partygate.
My missus said they were listening to it. She was in her office yesterday, in the office yesterday, and said she was listening to it. She was laughing because she said they were counting down that he's got to release these
WhatsApp messages,
and they were counting down like the hours and minutes that, you know, if you didn't do it and whatever. I don't know the full story behind it, but if you know
that
the,
sums it
the,
up, Chris.
Yeah, the WhatsApp files. If anything's got files in it, it's bollocks, isn't it?
Twitter files, the WhatsApp files.
Yeah, Hunter Biden's laptop.
Yeah, the files on that.
I mean, there might be some truth in some of these stories, but they're more distraction, and a lot of them are distractions.
Philip Schofield.
Oh God, I mean. You look on the news feed, right? You think that were all that were happening. Again, is that just another distraction or a mini distraction?
I mean, is that really interesting? Again, we're coming back to...
I couldn't give a flying toss what happens to Philip Schofield. Whether he presents Good Morning TV ever again. Couldn't give a flying toss.
But when you look at it, so we've got the BBC that put, let's just say billions of pounds, but let's just say hundreds of millions, tens of millions, into propaganda that... To sell you something, to tell you it's okay, even though we know and we use common sense and we're all adults, that we look at it and we say, hang on a minute, people are keeling over in the thousands here. The death rates have gone up to 3,000 above the 5-year average. Why aren't the BBC talking about that? And even if they want to, like we said earlier, even if they want to blame the lockdowns, surely they should be saying, well, it would have wasted time then. Because if more people are dying of this, the lockdown, than they are of the thing that they said were going around, then it were a waste of time. Why aren't they having a conversation about that? Why aren't they invest? Because they want to distract us, that's why. And they want to destroy anybody that dare speak out about it with common sense. And we're asking is common sense. I'm not saying we get everything right, we don't. But we're asking a grown-up question. We're people who should be voting. So surely we can ask a question before we vote, no, you know?
Not allowed, is it?
Not allowed to ask a question because Mariana and the BBC and their editors and screenwriters and the hundreds of millions of pounds, they'll be all over you.
Yeah.
And when we see all the funders and the people in there, some of the funders are linked to the CIA and stuff like that, of BBC Media Watch, which is a charity. It's a charity, Chris.
Right.
It's a charity, is that? It's not harmless, linked to BBC. Then. It's just called BBC Media Watch, but it's not linked to BBC.
Instead of writing charity after it, should say harmless. It's harmless.
Yeah. Harmless, harmless.
Won't bother you.
Yeah, but it's... I agree with you. I think that the need distractions, because if you think about... Like, use World War II as an example. When they were going to land on D-Day, they were dropping dummies out of planes to make it look like there were more paratroopers than there were. They were... they floated a dead body onto Portugal with a bag full of files that right. the Nazis got hold of that gave them the plans for the invasion type of thing. Now, whether all this is real or not, who knows? But who did that? It weren't me or people like me or you, but secret intelligence services that were lying, you know? Yeah, you could say it were a war thing. They needed to lie to the Germans so they could land on beaches. But they were going to do it anyway, let's face it. But also, they were lying to the population. Because do you think the government were on ration cards?
That whole rationing thing now, to me, seems like more gobbledygook, doesn't it?
No, the scary thing, I think they got worried because they actually did people a favour. That were apparently the fittest and healthiest that people have been.
You're only allowed so much sugar and half a block of butter, etc.
Yeah.
And they were growing their own vegetables then as well. They started growing their own stuff. Around where I am here, in Trumpington, in Cambridge, is Maris Piper Lane, where they invented Maris Piper potatoes.
Right.
And if I'm right, I don't know the full history, but that was a direct result of the Second World War to get more potatoes going, I think. Right. Might be wrong. Don't quote me on that.
Yeah.
But something like that.
McDonald's won't use them because they're not just right for them. They have to spray them. What do they use now? They use a certain potato. I forgot what it's called now, but anyway.
They've
got to be a certain size just so the look in them red boxes and they jump out looking like French fries.
Probably the most pesticized potato you can get.
Yeah, yeah. Well, apparently, I'm watching Ed from Armour Light the other day, and he said the farmers can't go in the field for 4 days after they sprayed it.
It's all right, though, isn't it?
And then when they pick them all, they've got to put them in a massive warehouse so they're off gas.
They do. To be fair, they do that with a lot of vegetables. And my old executive chef told me that. He was horrified when he went to a veg-producing unit.
Look at the thought that's gone into all this. This stuff's legal. This stuff is causing illness and death and lobotomization. When you talk to somebody and they look at you like you're mad because you say, well, 3,000 extra people a week are dying. But to them, that's just a week, not 12,000 a month for 18 months since I started attacking everybody.
I know we've said this before, but I'm sat in the corner of my living room here. You do feel like the resistance, don't you? As headphones on, talking about people dying and they're not talking about it on the news.
Yeah.
It's quite funny, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it's
funny and sad. Pretty sad.
Funny, sad, scary, and slightly exciting.
I mean, you can't go on YouTube and talk about this, otherwise you get turned off. You can't go... you've got Mariana Spring and the BBC and other people running around after you.
By the looks of it, you're going to start hunting us effers down.
Well, yeah.
In one way,
quite possibly. I mean...
But I don't mean in like a hunting us down. I mean,
they are hunting us down. They're doing it in a psyop over here. They do it with a smile, and it's not cricket, is it? And they do it that way.
They use these mousy looking ladies to do it as well.
Yeah.
You don't get some big rugby player looking guy to do it there.
No.
It's because they want them to look all sweet and innocent and, you know, while they just stab you in the back and take you down.
And she's going around saying she's been trolled, but she's not providing evidence of what the trolling actually was.
No. Well, they'll get around it just by being careful with the words.
Doesn't that sum it up, Chris? Where I could say to you, oh, you're being aggressive, even if you just sat there doing right? Mm. And all of a sudden then, oh, Chris is aggressive, you know.
Microaggression.
Exactly. Yeah. And by answering somebody or asking them a question, you're being aggressive.
Yeah, and unfortunately, if it's on TV, everyone believes it.
And you can even say something to somebody, how they've done something. And I noticed that in that interview that the light guy did, that he asked us something. I totally disagree with that. Well, you don't. Yeah, but were it true?
Yeah.
Don't matter whether you disagree with it.
There's no discussion about opinions, is there?
No, no. I totally disagree with that. And that's a modern, that's quite the modern way as well, isn't it? That's the Tony Blair school of Sammy Davis Jr. tap dancing around questions.
Yeah. Added with, we don't want to offend anyone.
Yeah. Well, they say they don't want to offend anyone, but by doing what they're doing, they're actually offending everyone.
Well, they don't want to offend anyone, they just want to kill them.
That's different, Chris. That's doing it for humanity.
Yeah. Yeah. They want you dead or sick and paid out for drugs, basically.
Yeah.
Even though NHS is free, but you're still paying for it.
Well, I the population collapse thing, I think
do you know what? I mean, I might be wrong, but that's the way I'm seeing it from now on, is that everything's a distraction. And I mean, everything.
Yeah. I have to dig some notes out that I wrote about 5 years ago, that one of the first videos that I did, where I wrote down all, there were about 11 major areas that they're using to reduce population. And then within that, you drill down things.
It's like that whole thing, in it, fact that we saw things as distractions, obvious ones on BBC, da da da. But you look deeper and deeper and deeper, and it goes right down to everything. Yeah. Like the Huxley stuff. Everything's set up as a distraction. And is everything set up for a distraction for this moment in history?
Quite possibly. I mean, I watched Godlomas put a new video out, and he was saying, do you know the...
It's funny, I never get a notification of his new videos anymore.
No, I don't either. do you know the Metaverse, what is it, figure logo. Eight? What is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, the continuation thing. And he was saying... He uses that as the wobble of the earth, of the crater, right?
Right.
And so
right.
That's it. So that's how the moon and the sun go around the earth, like in that figure of eight. And he was saying that when it goes round to one side, I forget, and don't quote me unless you need to watch it, but when the sun's going around the other way, right, that's when it's light, and that's when, you know, Jesus were here and it were friendly and nice and all that to Adam and Eve and all this. Yeah. And then when it comes into... The golden period, yeah, that's what he said. When it comes into the dark side, we're in sort of like that side of it at this moment in time. Yeah, almost. The dark ages, yeah.
Which might be a repeat of that. So when them two lines cross, is that when I see sun and moon in the sky at the same time?
Quite possibly, yeah.
It's possible, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because, if you look at a flat earth map or a plain earth map, if you like, England is pretty central, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. I always think as well, the creator earth, and I don't know if he's said this on this thing, but when I was watching that it sort of struck, because what he said, he had flat Earth, conventional Earth, and his view, which is that we live in a crater on a bigger Earth, right? Which is a good, I don't know how I've got here from the BBC, but anyway, there we go. but anyway, when I thought, that's why they can get away with saying, probably, if what his theory is right, is that they can get away with saying it's not a flat Earth.
Because it's not.
And it's round, because... They think it is, or it is, because we live in a smaller part of that round Earth, if you like, and it's a flat area. You understand where we're coming from?
Yeah.
And
it could be a giant globe.
Yeah, for all we know, and we could be in a flat
crater on that flat part of it.
Yeah.
Well,
a flattish part of it.
Well, we're just a tiny portion of it, so therefore it would be seem flat, wouldn't it?
And I view it as like we're in some sort of incubator. And what he was saying was that maybe we have to come back 365. Times.
Well, that theory that also ties in with the Admiral Byrd thing, doesn't it?
Yeah.
They flew over the edge of the crater, I suppose.
Yeah. Yeah. And also everyone's falling out, Russia and America and that, but they're all partners in Antarctica and
that's all right, forget about that.
Forget about that.
Switzerland's fine, Antarctica's fine. Yeah. Everything else, we're gonna fucking get you.
Yeah, yeah. Hitler didn't invade Switzerland, even though it's just a postage stamp on map.
Yeah. And he went on his big procession to Antarctica.
Yeah. Decided to go to Antarctica instead.
Yeah. And then they all wrote a treaty saying no one can go there.
Nobody can go there. He shouldn't be going there.
But to be fair, just on an instinctive level, that creator Earth version, it rings true to me. I think
it does me. It does me. There's something about it.
With all his evidence and stuff. Yeah. I mean, and you know, when you say things ring true to you, is that like a historic, ancient, reincarnated memory you've got? Who knows?
Well, yeah. Is he tuning into something there?
Exactly. I think there is that as well. The
prehistoric, if
tuning
you like.
Into some prehistoric old memory. That we, you know, when you someone just instinct, you have that. I think that's right. Just like, for instance, like going to space, for me, has never, well, over the last 10 years or so, has never seemed real.
Yeah.
And nothing I've seen on NASA has ever convinced me. Not even Elon Musk's sports car flying around with David Bowie playing. That didn't convince me for some reason. I don't know why.
Yeah, I don't know why.
Therefore, take the flat Earth theory out of it and everything, I don't think we're going to space. So then you have to retract back to, well, what is going on then? What is going on? I mean, I've mentioned on here, I saw a UFO and I read about aliens for years, fascinated, you know, and convinced that I saw an alien UFO, right? But then the reason I was saying this to you the other day, I stopped reading your books about UFOs and stuff years ago because I realized that they were telling us to look at the aliens and space. That was a psyop. So I stopped reading about it. It kind of upset me a little bit, as these things do. But now I'm rethinking it and I'm thinking, maybe there is some beings, right? And maybe they are from the over the crater. And they could, or another di or whatever, dimensional or whatever. And they come in and we're just a part of this. Who knows? I don't know. I've got no
Yeah,
idea.
they're coming to
But
managers.
who knows? Or I don't know. But it's actually reinvigorated my interest in
I think
alien story, to be honest with you.
the people trying to control this, the ones that have seem to own some of the secrets, they understand certain things. Maybe they're the AI that's trying to, as in the AI, human AI, that's trying to take over, so they don't have to go back and live forever here in this utopia, if you like.
Well, yeah, they
And
make it into their
the entities,
utopia.
the ones that, or some of the entities, are fighting them. Anyway, I know it sounds a bit wacko, but so that, and where the other side of it, where the balance, I would say there's 5% of them and probably 5% of us, the core element of it all.
I think we're probably just the cattle fire. All
When I say we, I'm on about the thing, people that think like we are.
oh, right, right,
Yeah.
yeah. I mean, all questions, who knows? But all that's what makes the world exciting, isn't it? And
But why aren't
interesting,
people,
even.
why aren't this, again, why ain't Mariana looking at this? Why aren't
Why
we,
isn't
you
that
know?
question brought up every day on TV
Yeah,
Five?
yeah.
What is the
Well,
meaning of this place we're on?
yeah.
It's not
Why are
even.
we here? What is our purpose?
That's what a child asks.
Is our purpose to go to a night shop? Is our our purpose
But that's
to
what a
go to
child asks, isn't
Nando's?
it? That's what kids ask when they first start realizing things. They go, well, why are we here? How did we get here? Da -da. And then you're slowly just told that stop talking shite, until you stop asking the question. Then you're not allowed to ask it anymore.
No, just get on with your job.
Which is part of the indoctrination, isn't
Yeah, it is, yeah. To
it?
stop you asking reasonable
Asking egg
questions.
questions, yeah.
Bangkok has some decent questions.
I remember saying to my dad once, driving down Huddersfield in his van. And I went, I was really young, and I said, why are we here, Dad? And he said, don't you wish you could live forever? He said, do a fuck, I'm already bored already. He didn't say bored, he said, I've had enough already. And then he just went, shut up, stop talking, shut
Stop asking interesting questions.
up. Stop making me think about shit.
You go to history and you think, why am I learning about Romans?
Well, you definitely need to know how many fucking wives Henry VIII had. That is one of the most important things anyone could ever learn.
Won't teach you about Spanish flu, though.
No.
Biggest thing that happened in the last
Yeah.
120 years,
Yeah.
apparently.
They forgot about that. They
400
just,
million people killed more
yeah.
than World War One. But we won't even
No,
talk about
they
World War
forgot
One.
about that till about 2009, and they started teaching it, which is possibly when they invented the plandemic plan, maybe around there. When
Well,
that
I'm
must have
certain it
been
was.
part of it when we looked into it, that they all of a sudden started making Spanish flu books.
Yeah. Well, there's no statues. I mean, we've spoke about this before.
Yeah.
There's no National Day of Mourning. And you're
No.
talking, apparently, it killed as many people as World War
Five
One.
to 10 million. I
Yeah.
mean,
But I'm on
is
about in this country. Apparently, it
it?
killed 300,000. Whatever. It were
Yeah.
equivalent, let's just say, what the talk tell us, it were equivalent to what they tell us about this nonsense that's gone on now,
Yeah.
where, and I'm sure people who were
And it if
shot
the,
were put being put down as though died of Spanish flu.
and if they can make that up now, imagine what they could make up 100 years ago.
Oh yeah. Well,
I
they
mean,
just tell you had it and you had it, didn't But yeah, it's a strange old world out there. All right, then, should we wrap up this first part?
that went everywhere.
Yeah, it went everywhere, but you know what? That's where we're at. So we haven't got any more or less anything done that we thought we were going to get done, and we're
No.
probably not going to get that done in part two. So we were going to do this who funds the fact checkers next week.
Yeah.
So thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time. Remember, if you're trying to join and you're already an annual member, either email us info@sheepfarm.co.uk if you want some help rejoining. If you don't want to rejoin, you just want to have the first hour, that's fine as well. No issue. We will see you next time. Bye.
We are the resistance.